But just prior to diving into the book of Acts, we finished up our study of all the prophecies of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We studied Revelation. We're just doing a short study on dispensations this morning, or in these few weeks. And we've looked at the first six of seven or eight. And maybe you can help me remember the first six. Maybe somebody wrote them down. So we are currently in the sixth dispensation, which is the dispensation of what? Beth?
Oh, sorry.
The rainbow? So the rainbow is a promise that goes with the third one, right? That's okay. Well, we are currently in the one called what? Grace. Paul refers to the gospel as the gospel of the grace of God. In Ephesians 3, he says this is the dispensation of the grace of God. So we are in the dispensation of grace. Praise God, it's the best dispensation we could have chosen. But prior to this one, there were five others. Now, obviously, there was one prior to the fall, which we refer to as innocence. Then after the fall, we referred to that one as what? Conscience. Man was living by his conscience. No written word yet. Then things changed at the flood. So from the fall up to the flood, conscience, then we called it what? Human government. Basically, God did establish a few rules there when they came out of the ark. And from that point until Abraham, right? And then everything changed. God made an amazing covenant with Abraham there in Genesis chapter 12 and said, I'm going to make a new nation of you. I'm going to make a new people. That, of course, would be the Jewish people, Israel, and that we referred to as family. And that was from Abraham until Mount Sinai. And what happened on Mount Sinai? We got the law. And so that brought us into the age of the law, or the dispensation of law, which lasted from Mount Sinai up until Pentecost, when everything changed. Amen? The Holy Spirit came down and dwelt us permanently, sealed us until the day of redemption. We gave eternal security, salvation in Jesus Christ by believing on what he did for us on Calvary and rising again. And so we find ourselves in this sixth dispensation, which is the dispensation of grace, which we studied last week. So today we look at the next, we'll call it a parenthetical dispensation because it's technically an extension of the fifth one, and you'll understand why here in a moment. So who would read Jeremiah 36 and 7? Any volunteers? Jackie, thank you.
I'll see now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands in his womb, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great. So that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble that he shall be saved out of the
world. The time of Jacob's trouble. Now, we just studied through Revelation, and we'll talk more about those details here in a moment. But this is essentially an extension of the fifth dispensation. And one of the reasons we know that is because if you go to Matthew 24, and we'll look at this in detail here in a few moments, where Jesus details this time for us, referred to as the tribulation. In verse 14, Jesus gives us a clue about this time period, which we're going to call 5A if you want to. Who would read this verse for us, 24:14 of Matthew? Beth, thank you. Now, as we walk through Matthew 24 soon, we're going to see that it's basically a chronology of the tribulation period. But we haven't heard about this gospel of the kingdom for quite a while dispensationally, have we? That's what John the Baptist and Jesus preached when they first started preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But then, after Pentecost, they didn't preach that, did they? No, they preached, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But Jesus is telling us during this period, this 7 weeks of years or 7 year period, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached again. Why is that? Because it's a Jewish dispensational period. And again, will the kingdom be available to those in that time period that are Jews, that trust Christ? It will, won't it? Because Jesus is going to return at the end of those 7 years and set up his kingdom. And they get the kingdom that they've been waiting for centuries. So Jesus makes it very clear, and as we saw, it's referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble. Wow, what happened there? I thought I had it set up to not go to sleep so fast. So we talked about this when we went into Daniel chapter 9 about his 70 weeks of years, remember, from the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And the Bible told us through that dream, we were able to know, and so were the wise men, by the way, when Jesus Christ would be born. Because remember when Herod inquired, how were they able to know? How did they able to figure it out about the time period? Well, they figured it out from the book of Daniel. That dream said that 69 weeks of years from the command to rebuild Jerusalem, which was under Nehemiah and Ezra, up until when the Messiah would come, would be a certain number of years, and sure enough, that was the number of years. But it was 69 weeks, but there was 1 week left, the 70th. And that one's been on hold. There's been a parenthesis in between 69 and 70 that we find ourselves in, which is the mystery of the church. Not, as we saw, not revealed in the Old Testament prophets. We looked at all those verses last week. And in the 70th week, it tells us that halfway during, over on the right there, in the middle of the week, things are going to change. The Antichrist is going to sit on the throne of David, and, well, the false throne of David in Jerusalem, and claim to be God, and the world's going to worship him. And we know it's exactly 7 years long, because the book of Revelation, as we saw, even tells us exactly how many days half of the tribulation is, 1260. So that is this time of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel. So let me pull up this next chart here, and then we'll pray and get started. This is all just introductory. So this is what we refer to as Daniel's 70th week, or the tribulation period, which we're going to call 5A. Because it's not technically its own dispensation. It's technically an extension of the law dispensation. Because a lot of the rules and I don't know what other word to use, of that time go into the tribulation period as well. As we saw here, the gospel of the kingdom. So anyway, let's pray. We'll get started. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to study your word together. We pray for wisdom, for learning, and for growing in your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the middle of the tribulation period, if you go to Revelation chapter 12, which we studied recently, another clue that this is a Jewish dispensation is what happens when we transition from what's called the tribulation to the great tribulation. And we'll also see this here in a moment in Matthew. Let me zoom in a bit more. So right here in the middle of the week, the dragon is cast out. But notice here what happens. Verse 1, there was a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour the child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Well, who's that? That's Jesus. So who's the woman? Israel. Has to be Israel. And did you notice the 12 stars? That's the 12 tribes. So, and the Bible tells us, verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness. So halfway through the tribulation period, the devil turns his back on the Jews, and they become the enemies of everyone, and they have to flee. Up the first half, he's going to make like he's their friend. But the last half, things are going to fall apart and get really bad for the Jews. Now let's go to Matthew 24, where Jesus lays out the chronology of this time period for us, which we studied in detail when we went through Revelation, essentially chapter 7 through chapter 18. So that's the biggest portion of Revelation, is about this seven-year period called the tribulation. Remember, we studied it. We looked at the seals. We looked at the trumpets and these angels, and then the vials. So the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials, all in the tribulation period. And Jesus details it for us here in Matthew 24. So, I don't want to read the whole chapter. That could take a while. Well, let's talk about what's going to happen. The Bible tells us in verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes and so forth. What else is going to happen? Verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and just shall deceive many. Verse 13, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. A lot of people like to misquote that and teach that we can lose our salvation in the church age. But this isn't talking about the church age. It's talking about the tribulation period. And those who survive till the end of the tribulation period will be saved. Verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom, which we just read, shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Remember, we read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the Antichrist is going to sit on the throne and be worshipped as God. Let's see, verse 21. So he's saying that's going to trigger something. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation. So when you see this happen, which Daniel prophesied of, it's in 2 Thessalonians, where the Antichrist sits on the throne. He says, then shall be great tribulation. Because then he turns his back on the Jews, as we saw, and the Jews have to flee to escape destruction, as we saw there in Revelation chapter 12. He says, verse 22, except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake. Now notice verse 24, very interesting. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So what is the purpose of the miracles and the signs during the tribulation period? We know what the purpose of them was when Jesus was on earth. And that was to authenticate his message. So he gave the apostles the power to heal. But what is the purpose during the tribulation period of the miracles and signs? To deceive. To lead people astray. The devil and the Antichrist are going to use, and the false prophet and the beast are going to use the miracles to lead people to worship the devil, as we've seen. John. Well, he does, because the beast, remember we saw, the false prophet has a wound that's healed. So he actually is going to die and then be brought back to life, which is an imitation of Jesus Christ, somebody coming back from the dead. And he also, when he goes into the temple there in 2 Thessalonians, well, let's turn there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, since John brought it up. That will be, as he said, a counterfeit of the coming of Jesus. Okay, so who would read verses 3 and 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Philip, thanks. So there it is. He shows himself that he is God. He's always wanted to be worshipped as God. We saw that when he tempted Jesus in the desert. He gets his wish for a short time in the tribulation period when he is worshipped as God. So as we saw there in Matthew 24, the signs are to deceive. And what do we, if you carry on in those two chapters, 24 and 25 of Matthew, what happens next? Jesus returns and judges the nations. Brother Mark?
Yeah. If a sign here, they require a sign. The Jews require a sign. So that's why the deception. And the elect is talking about the Jewish people being deceived.
Right.
No,
we're not there. Like he says, the elect is referring to Israel because they've always asked for signs. What did Jesus say? There should be no sign given but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He said, that's going to be your sign. They're going to kill me and I'm going to rise from the dead. That should be good enough. That wasn't for them as a nation, but that's the sign that he gave. And as he said, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, it says the Jews require a sign. So the Jews are always looking for a sign, and there will be plenty of signs in the tribulation period for them to say, oh, this must be God, this must be the Messiah, this must be the one. Unfortunately, it won't be the Messiah, and it won't be the one, it'll be the devil sitting on the throne of God. And so what ends the tribulation period is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 19. Remember, we studied that. Now, the second coming of Jesus Christ probably occupies a bigger part of the Bible doctrinally than just about anything else. That Jesus is coming back to the earth to set up his kingdom. It was the first promise given after the fall there in Genesis 3. It was the first prophecy ever uttered by man. Anybody want to guess where that is? It's in the book of Jude. Let's look there. Now, why would the book of Jude contain the oldest prophecy? Because it's quoting a prophecy that was given by the seventh from Adam. Who was that? Enoch, who pictures none other than the church, because he walked with God and then he was not. He was taken. Look what he says in verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So even Enoch, way, way, way back, prophesied that Jesus is coming back with his saints. And sure enough, we read about that in Revelation 19, that Jesus is coming back with his saints. And when he returns, he is returning bodily and literally, as he told us in Acts chapter 1. Remember, the disciples said, what shall be the sign of thy coming in the kingdom? He says, not for you to know the times or the seasons. Basically, go preach the gospel. But then when he ascended to heaven, the angels came down and said, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. In other words, they saw him visibly, they saw him bodily, he's going to come back the same way. It's not going to be a surprise or a secret. Everybody's going to see it, which we, again, read about in Revelation 19. And all the saints will come with him. The Bible says in Revelation 1:7, every eye shall see him. So the whole world's going to see Jesus return. And he's going to return to a specific spot, according to the Word of God, the Mount of Olives. That's in Zechariah 14. When he returns to the Mount of Olives, makes geographical changes, and then begins his judgments. And there are four judgments that happen when Jesus returns. Matthew 25 records the first one. So let's turn there. And that is the judgment of Israel. And Matthew 25 also records the second one, which is the judgment of the Gentiles. And they are separate judgments. So we don't have time to read the whole chapter, but verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. If you read verses 1 through 30, you'll find that this all has to do with Jesus judging his chosen people, Israel. And then what happens next is starting in verse 31. It says, all the angels shall be with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Look what's going to happen. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we, if you carry on reading about it, it talks about this judgment even has to do with how did you treat the Jews during the tribulation period. Which people often take this out of context about if you gave a cup of water and all of that. It's primarily talking about how did you treat the Jews during the tribulation period. And people will give account for that. Then Jesus Christ, of course, is going to judge the angels. And then he's going to judge the dead after the kingdom. So next week we'll dive into the seventh dispensation, which is the dispensation of the millennial kingdom. Or we can call it, has a name, the dispensation of righteousness. Let's look at that real quick. Where are we? The millennial kingdom, what Israel's been waiting for 2,500 years, the dispensation of righteousness. Isn't it interesting that it turns out to be number 7? Of course, we kind of finagled to make that happen, didn't we? But we want it to be number 7 because the seventh day was the day of what? Rest. And the seventh dispensation is a time of rest for the earth. The earth, the curse is removed. You know, we've been studying this in Isaiah. It'll be restored back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. And man will live long again. Animals will be vegetarians. It'll be a wonderful time. 1,000 years of peace, ruled by the Prince of Peace. And we get to rule and reign with him. As we've seen there in Revelations 19 and 20, in this dispensation of righteousness. So the dispensation of the tribulation, which you can call it judgment if you want to give it a name. You know, when you look at the Old Testament verses, here's the verses, the words that are used: wrath, judgment, indignation, trouble, destruction, darkness, desolation, punishment. Those are the words that describe the tribulation period in the Old Testament. All about Israel getting judged. And again, we know it's Jewish because it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Because it is the... we saw the chapter 12, which talked about the... that it's all about the Jews. And I didn't take you to Daniel 12. Let's go there real quick. I'm sorry, I forgot that verse. Talking about this time of judgment, the 5a dispensation. Who would read Daniel 12:1? Mr. Scott? Daniel 12:1.
And at that time shall Michael stand up, a great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book.
Amen. So again, notice it says a time of trouble. This is Jacob's trouble. And who will be delivered? Those that are found written in what? The book. We know what book that is, don't we? From Revelation chapter 20, the book of life. Get into it the same way in the tribulation period you do now, trusting Jesus Christ as the one, as our Savior. And there will be those who do get saved. The Bible says multitudes get saved in the tribulation period that no man can number. And that's both Jews and Gentiles. But still, more than half the earth dies is killed by all the plagues, creatures from hell, and all these things that we read about as we went through Revelation. So that we'll call 5A, the dispensation of judgment, the extension of the law dispensation, and then next week we'll understand the one that's now gone away. Number 7, which is the dispensation of righteousness, which is the millennial kingdom, which is started by the great event of Scripture, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, which everyone's been waiting for a long time. And it will occur, and everything changes. The judgments will be done, and then Jesus Christ will set up His kingdom, which has been prophesied of from the beginning, right? All right, look at Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll finish there this morning. This dispensation is what Israel's been waiting for, which is why Jesus and John the Baptist, the first thing they preached was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom. They wanted the kingdom. And the last question they asked Jesus before He ascended back to heaven is, "When will You establish Your kingdom?" That's what they've been waiting for. That's what they want. Why? Because look at Isaiah 9, 6. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Look at verse 7. "Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever." Remember when we walked through the Old Testament prophecies, how many of them talked about Jesus' kingdom? Isaiah having probably the most. That's what Israel has been waiting for. Let's look at that passage in Acts 1 before we close this morning, since we still have 4 minutes left. Now remember, these are the apostles, Jewish. They've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. And yet, look at the question they asked Christ just before He left, after promising the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the church?" Not what it says, is it? The kingdom to Israel. These are the apostles coming to Christ saying, "Lord, do we get the kingdom now?" What did Jesus say? Verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Me." No, you don't get the kingdom now. Something new is about to happen. The Holy Ghost is going to come and indwell you and give you power so that you can what? Go into all the world. Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Go and preach the gospel. Don't worry about the kingdom. Just go preach the gospel. And then He ascended to heaven. And what happened next? Pentecost. Just what Jesus prophesied. He told them there in the book of John, book of Luke, He said, "The Holy Ghost is with you and He shall be in you." And the day of Pentecost, everything changed. Permanent indwellance. Had never happened. Never happened prior to that. So they were waiting for the kingdom. And it's been put on hold for at least 2,000 years. We don't know how long. But it's still coming. All the promises still hold true. And we'll talk about that dispensation next week. So any thoughts or questions before we close in prayer this morning? The dispensation of judgment. Yes, Mark. That's right. There's an event that always finishes off each one. So the event that finishes this one is, of course, the rapture. The event that finishes the tribulation is, of course, the return of Jesus Christ. And like Mark said, there was something that triggered the end of each dispensation. The flood, that's pretty big. The covenant with Abraham, the law being given on Mount Sinai. Go ahead. The Babel, yep. The Tower of Babel. So each time something happened to end the dispensation. He's right. And the day of Pentecost was the official ending of that. Remember, we talked last week about how we were in a transitional period. From the time of John the Baptist and Jesus preaching up until Pentecost, we were kind of half and half. The law wasn't completely done and the church wasn't completely started. But the church dispensation officially began with the descent of the Holy Ghost to indwell man permanently. But even then, in the book of Acts, how long did it take the Jews to get it? You look at the first 8 or 9 chapters of Acts, the apostles only wanted to preach to Jews. And what did God have to do to get Peter to even speak to a Gentile about Jesus, but to give him this dream about the sheep and the animals, remember? And then he sent him to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius and his family got saved. So they still didn't really get it. Not until Paul. And then everything, of course, changed. The apostle to the Gentiles. Any other questions? All right, so next week we'll look at righteousness and maybe holiness and be done with our dispensational study. We're going to call that last one holiness, which is after the kingdom, which is basically, we don't know. New heaven, new earth. We don't know what comes after the kingdom. We just know it'll be good and we'll be there.